Good to see all of you here tonight. I want to try to finish up our series tonight that we started just a few days back, or actually a couple weeks ago. We've been dealing with wisdom on Wednesday night and also on Sunday night. We started in James chapter 3. So if you'd open the Word of God tonight to the book of James chapter 3. And we've been preaching. I think this will make the fourth message, and we should be able to finish it tonight. We've looked in verse 13 of chapter 3 of James. We dealt with wisdom and knowledge. We talked about that, wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge can leave God out. Wisdom never leaves God out. And so our goal is wisdom, but as Christians, we ought to want knowledge so we can be very helpful in this day. And because of all the resources we have, we should be endued with knowledge. And we ought to be able to know a little bit about a lot of things so we can be helpful to people. And even it gives you an opportunity to share Christ with them. So we dealt with the wise man who is endued with knowledge among you. And the qualifier is, who is wise? So if someone says, well, I'm a wise guy, I'm a wise man, I'm a wise woman, I'm full of wisdom. So what's the qualification of that? Well, don't tell me about it. Don't tell me about it. The Bible says what? Show me. And isn't that beautiful? I love that because he says, look, don't talk about how much you have wisdom and how much knowledge you have. Out of a good conversation, verse 13, his works with meekness of wisdom. And then we dealt with verse 14, but if you have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So then we spent one whole message on dealing with the counterfeit wisdom. And by the way, I want you to understand, every word of God is an inspired, absolutely chosen by God, and He calls this wisdom, so it's false wisdom. So meaning, listen to me now, it has power. It's hard for an average person that's not allowing God to lead their life and put some discerning eyes on. If you're not careful, you'll be taken by false wisdom. This wisdom, which was from the Bible, says from what is not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. So this wisdom's from hell. And how do you know? Because the Bible says, bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So those are marks of false, devilish wisdom. And we dealt a whole 40 minutes on that. But then we have spent, this will be the second message that we have preached on verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above. And that's what we all want, right? That's how we want to conduct ourselves. And look at the great contrast between the verses previous where we're talking about bitter envy, strife, confusion. This is an ugly atmosphere. I don't want to live there. I don't want to deal with people that live there. I want to live in this atmosphere. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. What a life. What a life. I mean, who would not want to live like that? Can I ask you a question? Who would not want to be married to somebody like that? I'd rather be married to somebody like that than verse 14, 15, and 16. So I say, we've dealt with all of these subjects. And by the way, I've done it on purpose. I have, on purpose, postponed messages in the book of Revelation. On purpose, I have postponed even some Christmas messages to deal with this subject. Because I believe it's going to require for us to be able to detect the false wisdom. We're going to have to make sure that we know the real thing. And that we're living and desiring to have the wisdom that's from above. We live in 2020. Can I help everybody here? 2021 is going to require every Christian to be able to discern between the wisdom that's from above and the wisdom that is from hell. So this message has been on purpose. This series has been on purpose. Because I'm telling you right now, we're living in a day where there's a lot of Christian people that are getting caught up in false wisdom. Looks like it, sounds like it, but you can check it if it's not pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. It's not it. Now, we're all going to fail. And I'm not going to say that none of us today are going to struggle with hypocrisy, because you're going to, and so am I. And we're all going to struggle with wanting to have compassion, because we're human. But what I'm saying is, if we will allow the Lord and we will submit our life and yield to the Lord, I can promise you this. He will help us not only to have this wisdom, to conduct our life in this way, but we will also be able to detect it when it's not the real thing. So we have dealt now with the first four characteristics of this wisdom. We dealt with that on Sunday night. We emphasized the source of this wisdom. One is from hell, the other one is from heaven. One is real, one is false. We want the real thing. We want the heaven, that we want the faith or the wisdom that comes from above. We want to live in this atmosphere of verse 17. So if we're going to live in this atmosphere, it's going to look, our life, our conversation, that's what that word means, conversation. The way we conduct ourselves, our manner of life, the decisions we make will have some characteristics. First, we dealt with inward, pure, the heart, our relationship with the Lord. Who am I? Not what I say. Who am I? What's my motives? What am I doing this for? Lord, are you pleased with this? What am I? Why am I going to do this? Why am I going to post this? Why am I going to say this? Why am I going to get angry about this? Why am I going to spend a lot of time in this? It's not never the means, just, you know, the ends never justify the means. Motives matter. It must be pure. Why do you forgive? You forgive because Christ has forgiven you. That's the motive. That's the pure motive. You're not forgiving somebody else. You're not scratching somebody else's back so you'll get your back scratched. That's the wrong motive. The motive, listen to me, church, the motive is always Christ. It's to be right. Why do we not lash back? Why do we not? Because the Lord tells us, fret not thyself of evildoers. Sure, do we not feel like we want to lash out? No, but the Bible says, fret not thyself of evildoers. Listen to me, we've got to trust the Lord. We want to have the right motives. We must be pure. I can go to bed at night and have a real good sleep if I know my motives have been pure that day. Are y'all with me? I want to live there. That's where this wisdom source comes from, the right motive. It's first got to be pure. By the way, that's inward, and that's how our relationship is with the Lord. But then, I want you to notice, every other characteristic, our relationship with the Lord will affect every expression of how we handle others. Because we live in a world with relationships. I have to deal with people. You've got to deal with people. You've got to put up with me. And we not only just want to put up with each other, we want to have wonderful relationships with one another. So how do we treat people? How do we conduct ourselves with godly wisdom? Here's what it means. Number two, peaceable. We dealt with that. We talked about gentle. We dealt with that on Sunday night. Then the next characteristic of true wisdom is easy to be entreated. Now, we've dealt with all that. If you've missed the message, you can get on YouTube or Facebook and listen to it online. You can get a CD. But I'm going to start on number 5 tonight because we're looking at this characteristics of the real thing. So let's just go right down the line. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. What's the next one? Full of mercy. You know what that really means, and I'm just going to be honest, I'm going to paraphrase that. Full of compassion. Full of compassion. I wrote this quote down, or I read a quote, I'll paraphrase. But you know that Christian people can get in a lifestyle of living the Christian life and looking right, being accurate in their doctrine, and dotting all their I's and crossing all their T's, doing everything mechanically that we're supposed to do, and not have the right heart. And do it all without any compassion. For instance, there's been times, I'm sure, that some of our bus workers on a Wednesday night, you're very tired, you've been working all day, and so you get on the bus, and by the way, I thank God for your duty. I thank God that many times we do things from duty. But doesn't it make it so much more sweeter when our heart and our compassion is in it? True wisdom is motivated by full of mercy. They're full of compassion. They're not mechanical. They're not just performing duties with duty. They're full of compassion. It's full of heart. We can be accurate. We can be precise, but have no love or no compassion in it. Do you know that I could get up here and someone could give me a very wonderful outline, and I could get up and preach an outline, and it can be, I mean, all of the theologians say, man, that's a masterpiece. You've done it all perfect. And man, that is such a wonderful exegesis. That's such a wonderful expository of you just being able to orate the Scripture, and I can do it without any love. I can do it without any heart, and it means nothing. Little Mariah, didn't she quote it just the other day? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what is that, the love chapter? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. God help us. You know what I want this church to be? I want it to be a church of the heart. You know why I desire that? Because that's how God's really helped me, is when someone just loved me. Loved the Lord. Love is the language that everybody speaks. Full of mercy. And by the way, Brother Larry helped me the other day. He gave me this, man, you write little, Brother Larry. He gave me a little postcard, but I'll tell you what, man, it might have been little in, look here, it might have been little in letters, but it was powerful in message. I took it out of his hand. I said, can I have this? And I kind of took it before I asked. But he said, real wisdom is having, no doubt, the mind of Christ. And I'm going to be honest with you, and he had some other great helpful things there, but, you know, I want to just say this. Where do we look to when we look to the Christian life, and who was true wisdom that lived on this earth? Jesus Christ. He was wisdom in human form. And he was full of compassion. Yet being worried in his journey, he went to... He had a divine appointment at a well to meet a lady that many of us might not even want to talk to. And why did he make that journey? He had to pass that way. I'm going to tell you why, because he loved that woman. I wonder sometimes if we just become mechanical. We just do what we're supposed to do because that's what we're supposed to do. I ask the question, church, where's the love? Full of mercy. Godly, operating with full of mercy, operating in godly wisdom, wisdom from above, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not about to question whether or not somebody loves you. You will be full of mercy. God help us to conduct ourselves and have this. And not be sanctified in spots. We ought to be desiring to have all of these gifts and fruits and conducting our life with wisdom. All of these. But we're looking at full of mercy. Compassion and heart. Look at the next one. Good fruits. Now that's simple. Good fruits. Good fruits. You know, godly wisdom will have fruits. You know, I've said this before. You plant an apple tree, you're going to have what? Apples. And hopefully they're good. Pears. You know, I don't eat very many pears. But man, at Christmas time, for some reason, pears, you know. How many of y'all got pears already for Christmas? Would you raise your hand? Like two people. They're both in my family. Y'all need to try something. Let them ripe. Am I taking them ripe? They're good. But I've never, you know, but if you ever, I don't guess I've ever had a bad pear, but I guess there are some. But pears are fruit that comes from a tree that has roots, and it's the same picture here. Someone that is conducting themselves with godly wisdom, they're pure, they're peaceable, they're striving to be sanctified and to allow the Lord to give them wisdom. The Bible says they're going to have good fruits. What's that mean? It's just simply this, kind actions, good actions. There's going to be actions. There's going to be good things. Brother Market preached a message a couple years ago. Just do good. I've never forgotten that. That's helped me many, many days. See what? Look, when we do good, just do good. And that's what this means. Good fruits. Let me write it like this. I found this quote. A Christian should not only be a person who is growing in his knowledge of the Lord, but also should be the best neighbor that a man can have. Good. Good actions. Good works. Thoughtful. Considerate. I mean, just good. Good actions. Being helpful. Being giving. I mean, that's what these good fruits are. I mean, you want to be around people that are good fruits. By the way, we are blessed by people that are good people, thinking of others. They're not takers, they're givers. Why? They're operating with this godly wisdom, this wisdom from above, because they've got good fruits. There's good actions. They're not talking the talk. You're seeing it. The actions, the works, what we do should be good, should be helpful. So I want to just say this. Godly wisdom, if you're operating in godly wisdom, you have godly wisdom, you're going to do good. That's going to be good fruits. That's simple, isn't it? If you're a Christian and we're operating and submitting to the Lord and we're letting Him, we're pure, we're in our right relationship with the Lord, we're submitting to the Lord, we're going to do good. You're not about to beat somebody over the head and browbeat them and hit them with a ball bat to do good. They're going to desire to do good. There's going to be good fruits, just like that pear tree. When that pear tree or that apple tree or whatever fruit you put in the ground, when that's the whole goal of that tree to grow is to produce fruit. And as Christians, our whole goal as we develop our relationship with the Lord, He desires for us to have good fruit. Good actions. Good fruit. Look at 7. This is a powerful one. Full of mercy and good fruits without partiality. Man. Killing this church. You said, Pastor, explain that. Well, you know what? Let's let the Bible, let's let God's Word explain it. Look at chapter 2 in James. Look at James chapter 2. What are we talking about here? Without partiality. Because if someone's operating in the wisdom that comes from heaven, they're not going to be partial. What's that mean? Well, let's look at it. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons? For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come and also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and saying to him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves? And are become judges of evil thoughts. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But you've despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Notice verse 9, but if you have respect to person, y'all say that next three words with me. Ye commit sin. And are convinced of the law as transgressors. Now, let me just go ahead and bring this down to every parent here. You might think being partial to your children that you're helping them. No, you're committing sin. That's what the Bible says. You're committing sin. We find in this passage that we can be partial. By the way, I can be partial to myself. Last night, now, I didn't make it a dogmatic statement, but I said, hey, look, we probably don't need to go in anybody's house as we Christmas carol. Now, I didn't really make a dogmatic statement about that, I don't think, but I did say, probably safe, let's think of them, we'll stay outside. Well, we get over there to Carolyn's, and Carolyn, man, she starts to cry a little bit, and that started to work on my heart. She said, y'all, please, y'all, come on in. Come on in. Come on in. And I'm going to be honest with you, church, I was getting ready to say, okay. But before I could say that, we had a woman in the crowd, and God bless the woman. I love the woman. She's trying to help the man there. She says, no, because our pastor's done told everybody else to stay outside. No matter how bad I want to go. And I said, then I looked at her. I said, well, I really didn't make that up. Well, then we had another lady in the crowd. She said, well, if we go in there, I'm going to tell everybody else. Not to be partial. See, if I'm not careful, I could be partial with myself. The Bible says it's sin. Then we find that we live in a day where people can be partial to the family. Now look, I'm not saying you don't love your family. I'm not saying for you to throw your family under the bus, but I want you to know something right now. Your family can sin. And if you think you're helping your family by covering their sin or by just forgetting that sin, or because let me say this, God didn't let sin pass on His own Son. I believe I've seen a lot of ruined young people because they have been treated with partiality. Oh, he's above the law. He's the such and such a son. He don't hold to the same. No, he holds to the same standard. Because if you don't, it's being partial. By the way, the Bible, this picture. What if a man comes in your church and he's wealthy, you know he's wealthy, and you cater him, and you don't cater someone that's homeless? It's partial. The Bible says it's a sin. Right? Godly wisdom don't act like that. Godly wisdom thanks God for everybody that walks through them doors. Godly wisdom's going to treat a man the same no matter whether he comes in here barefooted or with gold shoes on. I made this statement many years ago, and I say this. I have no idea what people do around here as far as giving on purpose. Y'all check me. And of course, we don't do it anymore, and that might change forever. But I mean, you know, I never dreamed we'd live in a day where a Baptist church ain't taking up offering plates. Somebody say amen. But y'all probably can't check me now, but if you would pay attention before, I never look. My head's always down. I'm never looking. I've never watched an offering take place in this building. Never. On purpose. You understand me? Because the Bible says that people can be treated differently because of the motive of wealth. Now, I'm thankful. The ground's level at the cross, aren't you? I'm glad he ain't partial. Without hypocrisy. Or without partiality. True wisdom is not partial. It's consistent. Get this down. You're going to handle things and deal with things according to truth, not because of who they are. We've tried to be consistent here. And our deacons know this. If there's a situation here, I always try to have counsel with them. But here's one thing that I always say. We want to be consistent with what we've done in the past. Why? Because we don't want it to look impartial. That's been on purpose. Now, we've got to ask God to help. I want to operate. Do you know how many times I've seen a church split because there's been partiality in the church? God help us. We want to operate in the realms of godly wisdom, this wisdom that's from above, and it's without partiality. And then the last one, without hypocrisy. You know what that means. It's just simply this, not playing the actor or the actress. You're not up on stage presenting one thing and living another. I wrote this down. I found it today. And man, it helped me. I loved it. Here's what it says. One mark of the Bible's truth is that its heroes are painted warts and all. I want to read that again. One mark of the Bible's truth is that its heroes are painted warts and all. Hypocrisy is the sin of wanting to appear what we are not. And we all can be guilty of it. But God help us. Now, I'm going to turn to a passage of Scripture, and if you'll turn there, would you turn to Galatians chapter 2? Because we find this in action in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, we see some hypocrisy going on with, listen to me now, Peter. He's a disciple. Peter, the man that was hung upside down, history tells us, for the Lord. But yet we find in Galatians chapter 2 that Paul had this withstanding to the face. Look what this hypocrisy did. Look at verse 11 of chapter 2 of Galatians. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Blamed for what? For before that a certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So in other words, he was acting one thing with the Jewish people, and he was acting something totally different with the Gentile people, and he didn't want to get caught by the Jewish, by the way he was talking and treating with the Gentiles, and so he withdrew, and he's playing an actor. He was full of hypocrisy, and the Apostle Paul calls him out on it in love. Now, I'm sure Peter probably didn't think it was loving. Because anytime we're ever called out, we don't like it either, do we? Hypocrisy. Be real. Be honest. Now, listen. I'm going to say this. I'm going to close. Recently, I had a phone conversation with Pastor Dallas Payton. By the way, as far as I'm concerned, our couples retreat is still on in the first week of March. And I would encourage you to be a part of it. We'll be as safe as we can, but I'm telling you, you need to be a part of it. Brother Scott Pauley, his wife, will be with us. Several of the churches done told me, Pastor, we're in. But Dallas, Brother Dallas Payton is a good friend of ours, and he called me up the other day. We had a good conversation. He said, look, Pastor Mark. We've talked. We've had a good conversation. He said, I have started a podcast. He said, I want you to do a couple of podcasts with me about some subjects. And we dealt with some subjects. And we didn't get finished, so he wants me to have another podcast with him. By the way, we put it up on our church website or on our Facebook. We've put it up on Facebook, right? That's what we put it up on. So you can watch it. You can listen to it. You can't watch it, but you can listen to it. And it's called Chapel Chimes. His church is Cook's Chapel Baptist Church. Chapel Chimes is the name of the podcast. And we dealt with transparency and some other subjects. But the next episode, whenever that time comes, one of the things that he wants to talk about is social media platform. Now, I want to say to every older person here, you say, well, Pastor, I have no idea about social media. Well, that's fine, but I'm going to tell you something. It is very, very important to the younger generation, and it's going to be here to stay. So whatever your views on it, it's here. We're going to have to deal with it. But one of the things he asked me, he said, Pastor Brandon, Pastor Mark, can we talk about how can Christians use it? Should we use it? Negatives, positives, we're going to talk about all those things. One of the things that I'm going to say to you is extremely negative and harmful with social media is hypocrisy is rampant. You know why? Because you can post anything you want. And if there's any Christian that has any wisdom at all, they'll never rebut it on social media. And social media is a very good platform for people to appear what they are really not. God help us. Listen to me, church. Be real. If you have failed, say you're sorry and ask for forgiveness. Be real. Be honest. It'll go much farther. It might look like the chips are down for a short time, but listen to me. God honors obedience. You hear me? God honors obedience. Be real. Be genuine. I've said this 1,000 times. Hypocrisy is someone that's playing a part that they are not. And they can fool everybody. What good does it do? What good does it do if I fool you? What good does it do me for me to think, to just play a game, be up on this platform, and tell you that my wife and I have a happy marriage? You know, that only lasts till what? 8 o'clock? Because you know what? Then I got to go home with her. Then I got to face reality. It's really not there. So really, and the point is my happiness is only going to be from 7 to 8 if I'm going to play a game and have y'all conned. No, I've got to live my life with my wife. So it doesn't matter what I say. It's a matter of what we have. Same with our lives. We can put anything we want out on social media. By the way, you can say anything you want. That is even the qualifier of the question. Who is the wise man among you? Let him say. No, he says, let him show. Let him show. Let's be real. Does it matter what you say? It matters how you are conducting your life. God help us. God help us to display the wisdom that's from above. And I'm going to tell you, if we're displaying it, it's going to look like this. Pure. Peaceable. Easy to be entreated. Full of mercy. Good fruits. Without partiality. And without hypocrisy. Isn't that a good atmosphere to live in? You're really not going to have much trouble with people like that. People like that's easy to love, aren't they? God help me to operate with godly wisdom. Let's stand on our feet tonight.